And I'm here to tell you the God that we worship is a God who does his best work in the impossible.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In our message this evening, Pastor Brian Grant continues in the experiences of the children of Israel as they moved into their inheritances in the Promised Land, bringing out how we can often base success on what we can do in our own strength rather than placing complete confidence in God's ability. Join with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Steps to Our Destiny. Here now is Pastor Grant.
It had been over 600 years since God promised to give the land of Canaan to Abraham. Over 600 years. And Israel was now finally on the brink of entering the promised land. The main reason for the delay is that Israel had been slavery for a very long time. Just like some of our foreparents, Israel had been in slavery. In their case, they had been in slavery for over 400 long years before God miraculously delivered them. And certainly, many of our ancestors, many of us who are Black, our ancestors were in slavery in the United States. There was in slavery in the Caribbean. There was in slavery in Brazil. And I always like to bring that up, not just because we have some Brazilians here, but because sometimes in our study of history, we forget that Brazilian slavery didn't end until the 20th century. We forget that Brazilian slavery, in fact, we may miss how brutal Brazilian slavery was, as Africans were brutalized significantly in Brazil. In fact, we sometimes get the impression that the majority of slaves were here in the United States, and we would be quite wrong. The majority of Black slaves were actually in Brazil and the Caribbean, but certainly it is good for us to remember our history. And so it is really good that we have this opportunity to reflect and remember. You know, the politicians may claim, and if we're not careful, we think one political party cared for us more than the other political party. But let us be clear, it was not the politicians who got us freedom, amen? The reason we are free today is because just like Israel was delivered by God's almighty hand, we were delivered by God's almighty hand. All the credit goes to Jesus. And so as we celebrate Black History Month, for some it's a little bit of some aren't as comfortable, but it is so important that we celebrate and remember, because we have to make sure that what has happened in our history does not ever happen again. This brutal, inhumane institution of slavery should never, ever happen. And all of us should make sure that we make sure it doesn't happen in other places either. It's important to study the past, but we must make sure not to get stuck in the past. I know I could go on that for a little bit, because I do believe sometimes if we're not careful, we are stuck in the past. You know, Israel was stuck in the past because for a while, some of you remember your history, as they journeyed to the promised land, there were time and time again, Israel begged what? Take us back. Take us back to Egypt. Take us back, because they remember all the good food that... It's interesting. What good food were they really eating? I don't know about you, but can I be honest with you? I am not interested in going back to slavery, amen? Because I am headed for the promised land. You said, I didn't know you were Jewish. I am headed for the promised land. Amen? Because the God who had big plans for Israel has big plans for us as well. Amen. I'm headed for the promised because God has a plan for you and he has a plan for me. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about right here. Yes, I'm headed for heaven. Hallelujah. And how better can it be than to be in heaven? Amen. But right here, while we are on earth, God has a plan for us. And whether you're whether you're a descendant of slaves or a descendant of folks who owned slaves, it doesn't matter. You see, sometimes our society wants to divide us and said, if your parents owned slaves, we can't hang out together. Well, listen, whether your parents were slaves or owned slaves, I am quite comfortable hanging out with you because you're a child of God. Listen, if you know Jesus, we are family. Amen. Can I be honest with you? If you know Jesus, it doesn't matter. You're closer to me than somebody who looks like me who doesn't know Jesus. And I hope you think the same way. The problem is that all of us as believers have not come to the realization that regardless of the color of our skin, we are one in Jesus. Amen. We're going to the same heaven. So we may as well get accustomed to each other and enjoy each other. Well, I better not get off tangent because right so far I'm a little bit off tangent. But praise God, God has a plan for us. For anyone who knows Jesus, if you don't know Jesus and you come to Jesus, listen, you immediately will discover that God has a plan. Young man, young woman, one of the saddest things is that some of us are still so stuck in the past, we aren't searching for God's plan for us. We are stuck in the past. And sometimes, if we're not careful, there are politicians who want to make us live as if somebody owes us something, so we should not strive for something because somebody owes me something. Listen, if you know Jesus, God has a plan for you, and you had better pursue God's plan. And so this morning I'm speaking to you on the theme, steps to our destiny. Amen. Steps to our destiny. In Joshua chapter 3, we find Israel. I've been going through the book of Joshua, and it looks like I'm stuck here. I didn't intend to be here so long, but I may be here a little bit longer by God's grace. In Joshua 3, you find Israel camped on the eastern bank of the river Jordan. In the text today, in Joshua chapter 3, Israel was less than 2 miles from the promised land as the crow flies. They were right there, less than 2 miles away. The only thing that stood between Israel and the promised land was the River Jordan. That was it. Once they crossed, they would be in the promised land. But getting there was going to be a huge challenge. And there are significant lessons we can learn from chapter 3 to help us as we seek to pursue God's plan for our lives. There are some lessons that you can learn and that I can learn as I seek to find out God's steps for my destiny. How do I get to where God wants me to get? And so I hope you'll stay with me this morning as I share very quickly, as quickly as I can, 3 steps. To our destiny. If you're taking notes, and I hope you are, because this is an important message. If you are taking notes, write this down. The steps to our destiny requires courage. Amen. The steps to our destiny requires, what is that word? Courage. Meet me in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. And it reads this way. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Jump down to verse 14. So it was when the people set out and from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. Let me just pause there for a minute. Joshua, can I help you with the picture? You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we think it was just 50,000 people. Joshua was leading a group that was estimated to be more than 2 million people. More than 2 million people. And he was about to cross the river at a place where the Jordan is usually only about 100 feet wide. Those of you who were there in Israel the other day, remember how narrow the Jordan River is. And so sometimes you miss. How could it be such a big deal crossing the Jordan? The Jordan is only 100 feet wide at certain points. And the point they chose was normally only 100 feet. But the Jordan was now at flood stage. And the experts tell us that at flood stage, when all of the melt, you have all the snow melt on the mountain. Listen, they tell us that it is likely that the Jordan at the time of crossing would have been more than 1 mile wide, 12 feet deep, with a swift current. We better get the picture in our mind. It's a 1 mile wide river, 12 feet deep, and a swift current. And can I say, chances are they didn't have no boats. The Bible didn't tell you where you're looking that up. Well, I figure they've been traveling in the desert for 40 years. What boats do you need in the desert? So here they have been traveling for 40 years in the desert. They don't have much, if any, watercraft, right? Little or none. They've got 2 million people. You got to cross a 1 mile wide river. How in the world do you do that? Humanly speaking, this was a mission impossible. But listen, but there's nothing too hard for our God. Amen? As someone has said, I heard somebody say, God does his best work when we face impossible situations. I sort of liked it. God does his best work. Well, God can do his, he doesn't need impossible situations, but it's good to actually think of it, because sometimes we feel our situation is impossible. And so sometimes it's good for us to just reflect on that thought, that God does his best work when we face impossible situations, because there is nothing impossible with God. Amen? But since we believe God can do the impossible, why does our courage falter so easily? There is some disconnect. We believe God can do the impossible, but we're facing a challenge and our faith disappears. Oh, I know I'm talking to somebody this morning. You're going through drama. There's somebody under the sound of my voice, whether you're in this auditorium or you're listening elsewhere, and your faith has faltered, and you're wondering, listen, there is absolutely no hope because this situation is hopeless. And I'm here to tell you the God that we worship is a God who does his best work in the impossible. I've met Christians who, if they were the ones standing at that Jordan, they'd start casting out the devil. Oh, they'd be casting out demons, because as far as they're concerned, a Christian don't face no problems. Any problem that comes my way, anybody ever run into people like that? Oh, it's got to be the devil. So they're going to cast out all sorts of demons. But as Andre Crouch sings, I thank God for the mountains. I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who is willing to thank God for the mountains and the valleys and the storms. I wonder if there's somebody who is bold enough and courageous enough to say, God, despite the drama in my life, I am going to thank you because you're God all by yourself. So Andrew Curl said, I thank God for the mountains. I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for all the storms he's brought me through. Because if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God's word could do. But hallelujah, through it all, I've come learned to trust in Jesus. Amen. So because of our faith in God, we can, listen, young man, young lady, because of our faith anchored in God, we can courageously face every trial of life. Write this in your notes. courageous faith confidently believes that God can do the impossible. It starts there, you know. Courageous faith has to start off believing something. Before it can do anything, it has to believe something. Amen? And courageous faith first has to believe that God can do the impossible. As Luke's Gospel chapter 18 verse 27 says, and we'll put that verse on the board. It says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen? The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Do you believe that? Do you believe God can help you in your situation? Your money is so tight. Do you believe God can help you with that? It's great to know that God can do the impossible. But that means nothing unless we are willing to do the next step. So write this down. Courageous faith not only believes that God can do the impossible. Courageous faith, put this down, confidently obeys the God of the impossible. Amen? Courageous faith confidently obeys the God of the impossible. Meet me here, Joshua chapter 3, verse 6. And for sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but verse 6 says, then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, I'm going to jump over some of this for sake of time. I'm just going to go all the way down to verse 14. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan was overflowing all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down stopped. So God is actually telling them that they are to get to step into verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of the shall rest in the waters. God is actually telling them, step into this water. What did we say about the water? Somebody said it's cold. I didn't tell you it was cold. Must be one of my Jamaicans back here. The only thing they can worry about is cold water. Since I'm on that, I may as well. I never forget every time I go to Jamaica. When I moved here, every time I go to Jamaica, the thing I'm dreading the most is the fact that there's no hot water at my house, and I'm going to have to bathe in that cold water. What of all the things to be worried about, the cold water that you're going to have to... But no, we're not talking about the fact that the water was cold. The issue was the water is flooding. There is a strong current. It's 12 feet deep. Is God really serious? Does God really expect these men to step into the water carrying the ark? Perhaps I'd have said to God, God, how can I cross if I'm carrying the ark? If I'm carrying the ark, I can't even swim. Am I right about that? The thing is 12 foot deep and I'm carrying the ark and you're telling me I'm to cross this water carrying. Can I let go the ark? Well, in my case, I wouldn't ask him that, because the truth is, even if I let go the ark, I can't swim that good. How in the world could I swim at 12 with all this strong current? You know, the bottom line is, you see the problem though? Too often, write this down. Too often we base our decisions based on what we can do in our own strength. That's the problem, you know. We always look at everything from what we can pull off in our own strength rather than placing complete confidence in God's ability. We just said God can do what? He can do the impossible. So what can we find that a person who can do the impossible cannot do? I'm trying to analyze that. If it's either God can do the impossible or he can't. And if he can do the impossible, then what experience are you or I going to run against that God cannot solve? So we need to just stop holding on to what I can do. What you know, some of the very strong Christians in our, you run into, you know, if you're not careful, sometimes you may discourage another person, because even the strong Christians sometimes to be always wanting to interpret everything based on what I can pull off in my strength. But courageous faith not only obeys the God who can do the impossible, courageous faith confidently obeys the God of the impossible. So the priest carrying the ark stepped into the swirling waters, and as they did, what a miracle, verse 17, what a miracle happened when they stepped into the waters in Joshua 3, verse 17. And as they did, the priest who bore the ark stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground. Somebody better say hallelujah. Did you get it? Did you get it? There's a 1 mile wide river. It's raging. It's 12 foot deep. The priests come up to the river with the ark. They can't swim because they're holding the ark. They put in the foot, and immediately everything banks up. And as they walk, they're saying, there's no mud here. There's no mud. The God of the impossible not only stopped the river, but suddenly, without sun coming out, the mud became dry. The waters, verse 16, the waters which came down from upstream stood still. It rose in a far away heap at Adam, the city that is beside Zaretan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Araba, that's the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea for those of you, the water that went down to the Dead Sea was cut off. God just stopped everything. And I am just so thankful. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me to trust you. Lord, help me that my faith might be anchored in you. Lord, help me that when my faith is failing, I might remember some of these stories of what you did. And remember that you are the omnipotent, almighty God. And there is nothing that is impossible with you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.